daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday. You'll be joined in the studio by Sam Turner, Andy Holding and Gareth Topham. The meetings are Catterick, Fakenham and Southwell on Tuesday. So three meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Good, thanks, Mark. Yeah, it feels weird actually recording a pod in the studio rather than on the phone.
Yeah, it's completely different. Been a good weekend of racing.
Fantastic weekend.
So we'll start by looking back at that. We'll do the Monday jury, as always, on a Tuesday's racing podcast. I know it sounds weird, but we record it on a Monday morning. And then we're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing as well. Three races at Catterick will be the subject of Catherine's selections. Starting with the Monday jury then, Catherine. We'll go through the six questions in the racing post. And the first one is the new one, the rightful favourite for the champion hurdle?
I'm a massive Hurricane Fly fan, and I try and take my heart out of it when I'm trying to analyse the champion hurdle. People crabbed him all last season, said he wouldn't win again. To be honest, I can't understand the price that Hurricane Fly is drifting to this year's champion hurdle. The new one is the biggest danger. The one thing about the new one, he absolutely loves it around Prestbury Park, as we know. His turn of foot is absolutely devastating. When he kicks from the last hurdle up the hill, is something else. We saw the turn of foot in play at Kempton again. I've said it time and time again, I'm quite terrified of the new one. And I think the champion hurdle market is quite wrong in certain aspects, but he definitely deserves to be up there, absolutely. Whether I would have him favourite, probably not. I'd have him as second favourite behind Hurricane Fly if I was compiling the market. You know, look at what people crab what Hurricane Fly did first time out this season. He wasn't fit, and his display in the Morgiana last year was hardly impressive. But he'll warm up to it. But look at it, the new one's the biggest danger to Hurricane Fly that I can see at this point. Obviously, Arcona was a devastating winner, the Triumph Hurdle. He's had a few problems this season, but hopefully we'll see him clash with Hurricane Fly in Ireland at Christmas. And it's great that we're going to see the new one and My Turn of Yours clash in the Christmas Hurdle. As I've said a million times, I wouldn't be a fan of My Turn at Yours going into the champion hurdle, but for the Christmas hurdle I was all over him for that. And look, we've seen the new one can act at Kempton as well. I think he's really going to serve it up to the tent. I'd have him as he's a fantastic horse, the new one. He really is. Loves Cheltenham, but yeah, I'd have him as second favourite.
Okay. The new one and My Turn at Yours are 7-2 and 4-1 respectively. That will change, I imagine, after the Christmas hurdle. Our Connor is a 9-2. Hurricane Fly, the fourth favourite at the moment, at 6-1. 8-1 for Jeski, 12 for Annie Power, and 16s for Grandaway, and then 20-1 or bigger. Oh, sorry, Zarkander 16s as well, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. So, we mentioned Zarkander in there at 16-1 for the champion hurdle. Would you take the world hurdle route with him, though, is the second question?
Yeah, personally, I would. I thought, and remember when he beat the new one at Aintree, the thought that sort of Paul Nicholls was kind of insinuating then that he would go to the world hurdle and that they wouldn't ever sort of try the two-mile trip again. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, they've had a bit of a change of plan, but Liz Dorr makes a very good point in the Monday jury today, is that a lot of the Triumph winners end up being stayers. We've seen that with Celestial Halo. I just thought that when Zarkander won at Aintree over 2 mile 4, he just looked as though he was crying out for that step up in trip. And yeah, I think Jess Lamb makes a point here. You know, try something like the Cleve hurdle with him, and if that doesn't work, then you know go back to Aintree. But I don't think he can mix it with this lot now at 2 miles. And Paul Nickers has always said that he doesn't feel that the course at the Champion Hurdle course at Cheltenham suits him. We've seen him kind of be below par. Right? You can rule out the first attempt at the Champion Hurdle. Sorry, he was rumoured not to be very well. And still ran a blinder into fifth, but you've seen him run sort of two very below par efforts, shall we say, in the Champion. So I had him down as the biggest danger to Hurricane Fly for this year's, but yeah, I would definitely take the World Hurdle route.
Okay. Do they even need to send him to Cheltenham? That's the question.
Exactly. I mean,
Warren Glatix has made a good point that Paul Nicholls has big books and Celestial Healer for the World Hurdle. The Champion Hurdle probably doesn't suit Zarkander, so probably go. I personally would aim for something like Aintree at the race later on in the season rather than actually send him to Cheltenham.
Yeah, no, that's right. I honestly think that Zarkander's capable of winning a World Hurdle. Obviously, a lot depends on whether we see Big Bucks back. I kind of fall in between these two points here. I think he acts at Cheltenham. Mm. We know he does. He doesn't like the nature of the Champion Hurdle course, but of course, you know, the World Hurdle is run on the new course, mm-hmm. so that's going to suit him better.
Okay. How impressed were you with King's Palace with a view to the Cheltenham Festival?
Massively impressed. I thought the form of the race that he won at the showcase had worked out incredibly well. It was very, obviously, he went off quite a short price for Saturday, but he absolutely destroyed them. And it was his jumping is so slick. To be able to stay and to jump that quick as well was absolutely serious. Yeah. It was kind of like one of those wow, you didn't just win it, you demolished them.
Mm. Okay, so what race would you target with him at the festival? Would it be the Albert Bartlett or something like that?
Probably would actually go the. It's so hard, isn't it, now with the 19 and the Albert Bartlett's. I would be Albert Bartlett for me.
Okay. Which festival race would you target with Double Ross?
As they say here, it's going to be hard because initially I thought the 2 mile four, but it looks as though now with his win on Saturday, he whatever he goes on to do is probably be handicapped out of that. I see no problem with him. He wasn't stopping. You think he'd stay 3 miles? Why not try something like the William Hill and maybe even go for the Burn Group? Yeah. So yeah, we sort of concur with both points there, really.
Okay. What else took your eye for the future on Saturday?
More of that.
Yeah.
I think you've got a horse there that's capable of winning a World Hurdle. He sort of just toyed with Salubrious really on the running. It was McCoy didn't even really go after him, and he was running all over him. Yeah, the two performances of the day on Saturday for me were obviously pretty obvious ones, but King's Palace and more of that. And I know a lot was made sort of before would he handle the quicker round, didn't inconvenience him at all.
Yeah, and McCoy's ride on board him as well, very confident. He obviously knew he had a lot of horse underneath, but also it was an intelligent ride because he kept him upside Salubrious, knowing that he's still inexperienced, and if he'd hit the front and he could have started wandering around.
Absolutely,
So a very good ride as well.
You can see the horse wants it. He's very game, and the point was sort of made at Haydock, obviously the kind of the pace of collapse, so he had to sort of come from behind the way he did at Haydock. But yeah, no, he was even more impressive at Cheltenham, and look, you know, some decent winners have come out of the Ralkeel. It's a horse with a very big future.
Okay, and the final question of this week's Monday Jury is the King George a realistic objective for Riverside Theatre?
Did you know he's one of these horses that I can never ever get right? I couldn't have him on my mind for the Ryanair, because then he goes and wins it, and then like that last week I was like, oh no, you know, he's had his problems, I can't really see him winning this, and he goes and does it. I think the problem is it looks like being a very, very hot renewal of the King George. Obviously you've got Q Card, you've got Dynas, you've got Alpha Off. Q Card is now kind of one of the established stars. You've got the young pretenders. I just think he's gonna find it hard in that, and you know, obviously he still retains his ability. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I mean, I didn't know until I read the Monday Jury that he has actually suffered with ulcers.
Yeah.
And Evan Williams makes a point here that you know he did have a hard race, and then to the King George is turning out to be quite a grueler. So he wouldn't be for me in the King George, but where else do you take him? Would he go across for the Lexus? But then, God, that's tough as well. Do you know what I mean? We probably will see him, but he wouldn't be one that I would be on there.
Okay, so that's the Monday Jury then for another week. Any other news stories that we should touch on before we move on? I suppose we should discuss Willie Twiston Davis has got the top job with Mick Shannon.
I mean, he really broke through, didn't he? Really, last half season, but no. He always, I mean, can he look back now to the? He was so upset when he unseated on Baby Run and the Vox Hunters. He was always destined for good things. I think the last couple of months for the Twiston Davis team has been absolutely horrible. So it was, they've obviously had such a fantastic boost over the weekend with the new one and Double Ross. Sam, of course, riding at the top of his game, and welcome news with him for Willie's appointment to Mr. Shannon.
Okay, and finally, just before we move on to Tuesday's racing as well, well done to AP McCoy. He was third in the BBC Sports Personality of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely.
On Sunday evening as well. So it's the third time he's been in the top three as well. He obviously won it in, was it 2011? He was third in 2002 and third again this year.
Fantastic. So. I'm kicking myself really. Apparently the montage that was put together for him was really good, and I missed that. No, it's great. And you know, there's been a lot made of, he should have won it. Andy Murray shouldn't have. Well, you can't crab, like, I mean, how can you expect? Andy Murray is a dedicated athlete. He can't fly. He can't break up his training to fly back. That's how he's got to where he is. And look, you've got to hand it to the. How many times did he imagine going out onto centre court and facing your old ghost? You know, that's a lot of mental strength and a lot of dedication. People say he hasn't got a personality, and to be honest, I used to think that. But then I watched the documentary on him, and I thought, no, you're actually all right. So a very well-deserved winner in Andy Murray. Fantastic for racing for AP McCoy to even come in the top three.
Yeah, Andy Murray made a, I know this is sidetracking a little bit, but he made a joke in his acceptance speech saying, I know I sound like I'm not excited or not very happy, but I am. It's just,
like, can't help the way he speaks, can it? Do you know what I mean?
Anyway, that's all that done and dusted. Let's move on to some of Tuesday's racing then. We're going to go through three races at Catterick. Those are the 12:40, the 1:40 and the 2:40. So the 12:40 is where we will start. It's a novices limited handicap chase, and it's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Only 5 of them in the lineup here, and I suppose Big Water is going to be one on many people's shortlists.
Yeah, he is. Obviously, he was a course winner in a bumper at Catterick, and if you can actually track him back to the bumper that the new one won at Aintree, that bumper of all bumpers where the new one beat My Tenth or Yours, and he actually finished 10th in this. He was second at Musselburgh over hurdles, and so he was beaten 17 lengths. He doesn't really inspire me here, Mark, to be honest, on chase debut. I had a quick look at Rick. Obviously, John Ferguson's in fine runner form. Rick was previously with Desi Hughes in Ireland and used to sort of regularly mix it with the likes of Mikael Dagenham, but he hasn't won in sort of since 2011 in Ireland. The one that slightly interests me on chase debut, to be honest, would be James Ewart's horse, Mandarin Sunset. He was a winner at Musselburgh last time out in a maiden hurdle. Sort of gets here on the sort of the lowest weight on 10.9, and I think you can literally put, when you're going through the form of all of them, like Diocles, Donald McCain, his stable are a little bit in and out. Some are winning, some are running like drains without wanting to be rude. Mandarin Sunset started to look a little bit progressive in maiden hurdles, second twice in one last time out. He's the youngest horse in, no, he's not, Big Water's 5, he's the second youngest horse in the race, but it's just the weight is going to play to his advantage here, and it wouldn't be a betting proposition for me, but if I was pushed for a selection, it's going to be Mandarin Sunset.
Okay, Mandarin Sunset in the 12:40. The next race we're going to look at is the 1:40, and this is a novice's hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Plenty of them in the lineup for this one. We have 16 of them declared, so a good race for each way betting. And is there any value in there for you?
This is hard because obviously you've got horses with bits and pieces of form, and then you've got horses with no form at all. Obviously, always look at a John Joe O'Neill horse that's come second twice. He was second twice in Bumpers, last one at Uttoxeter 19 days ago. The one that does interest me is Downtown Boy of Chris Grant's. He had a lot of flat form, and he's been in the placings on all of his hurdle starts. He did slightly catch my eye last time in a conditional jockeys race at Sedgefield. He sort of was staying on quite nicely behind the sort of red hot favourite Heath Hunter, and he was big odds that day, finished at 20 to 1. And you've got Paddy Brennan, obviously takes the mount. Dermino Reagan rode him in the conditional jockeys race. It kind of be the one that I would side with. It's quite hard, Mark. There's not an awful lot to go on really in the form for this race, so I would make him my tentative selection.
Okay, of those without form, I suppose we must mention Fennel Bay. Interesting that he goes over hurdles now.
Yeah.
Is it a he or is it a she, Fennel Bay? Is it he? Yes.
Is it he? Yeah.
A Royal Ascot winner, of course. In the past, won the King George Stakes at Royal Ascot, and high enough class on the flat. If he takes the hurdles, he could be.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, it was sort of, you know, made the point there in the previous race. John Ferguson is absolutely flying. So yeah, it's like you say, it's a great race for each way betting, but it's also a bit of a minefield for punters. Obviously, you've got an awful lot in here with horses with their first proper sightings of obstacles on a race course. You don't know how they're going to take to it, and that's why I'm keen to sort of really side with a horse that has had the experience and also was a little bit of an eye catcher last time out.
Okay, let's move on to the 2:40 then. This is the last race we're going to look at. This is a novices limited handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong, and only three of them in the lineup: Dersey Sound and Corin Wood, probably the two to concentrate on. Although you can't really write off Balding Banker in a 3-runner race, can you? But
no.
Do you see it as it should be a match between the top two in the works there?
Yeah, I do. And for all I've said there about the form of the McCain stable being in and out, I think it would be Corin Wood that I would actually side with. The one problem I have with Dersey Sound, he's on a bit of a recovery mission. Obviously, he's unseated the last twice, which who unseated Richie McLernan and then unseated AP McCoy when favourite at Fakenham. Imagine AP wasn't too happy about that. Corin Wood, look, if you go back through his form, I believe he's got bits and pieces of form in there. He's got with Shut the Front Door. Obviously, Shut the Front Door was a very, very good horse last season. I know the wheels have sort of come off the bus a little bit this season in regards to Shut the Front Door. He's obviously running like something is a little bit amiss. But he's the one problem I have. I mean, I'm not really sure. I don't really know what the going is actually at Catterick at the moment. Could you enlighten me in any way, Mark?
It's good at the moment.
Is it good? Yeah. I mean, Corin Woods, he does sort of he likes to get his toe in a little bit. That could possibly be a little bit of a worry. Won his last start in November against Baby Shine at Market Raisin. Balding Banker, yeah. an odd character. Obviously, won at Hexham in May. It's just probably this is going to be, you'd imagine, a tactical affair. Mm-hmm. It's going to be just purely to sort of Dersey Sound, I would imagine they're going to be looking at really a mission to improve his jumping. But look, you look at the weight. I mean, Dersey Sound is Balding Bank is getting a stone there from Dersey Sound. You've got Corin Wood, who I feel is an overall better performer, gets the £5 from Dersey Sound, and he would be my selection.
Okay, let's just have a quick summary of your three selections, then, if you wouldn't mind, Catherine, before you go.
No problem at all. So in the 1240, I will go with the lightly weighted Mandarin Sunset. In the 140, I'll go with Downton Boy. And in the 240, I'll go with Corin Wood.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Catherine. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you.
There you go, then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from midday with Sam Turner, Andy Holding and Gareth Topham in the studio. The three meetings are Catterick, Southwell and Fakenham. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.